Well, our third and final speaker this morning is no stranger to Crossroads Baptist Church, probably outside of our family. No man has preached in this pulpit more in Crossroads Baptist Church than Dr. Don Sisk. He just finished his 29th missions conference in a row here at Crossroads here back in May. I think it's 29, somewhere around there. He's looking at me. He doesn't know. Dad's looking at me. He doesn't know. And both of them should know. I don't know. So let's just call it 29, all right, since Mike's botched up all the numbers anyway. Maybe it was 69. The 69th missions conference in a row. He's been preaching missions conferences since Acts, all right? So, and we really, really love Dr. Don Sisk. This year was the first time ever for missions conference that he came and Mrs. Sisk could not come. And we always miss having her, but she's recently been through knee replacement surgeries. And I talked to him today. He said she's doing well, and we thank the Lord for it. What a testimony. Dr. Sisk has been all over this country and many, many countries all over the world. Of course, we know he pastored here in the States for many years, was a missionary in Japan for years, come back and was general director of Baptist International Missions Incorporated for many years, and now is serving at West Coast Baptist College out in Lancaster, California, as the missions director and serving and teaching in the Bible College there, and still travels all over the world preaching the gospel and preaching missions conferences and encouraging people, befriending missionaries, counseling pastors, just being among the people. He is a people person. Our church looks forward to having him every time he comes, and we certainly thank the Lord for his faithfulness. A couple years ago, one of my dear friends in the ministry, Pastor Kurt Skelly, said that God laid on his heart to fly back to Japan with Dr. Sisk and have Dr. Sisk take him step by step through where he planted churches and how God used him in the field of Japan, because he said, I believe with all my heart we have the opportunity to be exposed and to be friends with a missionary legend in Dr. Don Sisk. And we are thankful not only for his work for the Lord, but for his friendship to Crossroads Baptist Church and Dacoba, and we are better for it. So let's welcome again to this pulpit for another time out of many times, Dr. Don Sisk, a great friend of Crossroads Baptist Church and our third speaker today.
Thank you, Dr. Kinney, and I'm reminded of a little poem I heard years ago. I can see well through my bifocals, my dentures fit me fine. I can hear with my hearing aid, but I sure do miss my mind. The longer I live, the more real that poem becomes to me, okay? Let's see, how many pastors do we have here today? Would you stand for just a minute? All of the pastors, just stand for just a minute, okay? Now remain standing for a minute. I'm not just having you to stand so they can clap for you, okay? How many of you have prayed for some black people to go to the mission field? I mean, I've been praying for that a long time, okay? All right. Now, you heard one today, okay? You know him. You know what church he's a member of. You know his doctrinal statement. You know all those things and so forth. So why fiddle around for months to take him on for support, okay? So what you ought to do is go home next week, and in the next business meeting, you don't have to have a business meeting, just do it on Sunday, and just go ahead and support Brother Ms. Johnson for $100 a month, and man, they'd be in Brazil a little while, okay? Okay, you can be seated, okay? I have a gold pen, and it says 50 years, okay? And just a few weeks ago, I received this pen from Baptist International Missions Incorporated, because 50 years ago in June, 1964, my wife and I were approved by Baptist International Missions to go to the country of Japan as a missionary. We had been called to Japan. Our sending church, the Calvary Baptist Church, was a great sending church for us. And I remember with fear and trembling going before a board, and I don't know why I was fearful, because after all, it didn't make any difference what they did. We were going to the mission field anyway, okay? But I remember, and back in those days, BIMI was new. They knew nothing about missions, hardly, but they had just formed. And I remember sitting before those men, them asking us all kind of questions and so forth. Then we went out, and we came back in, and Dr. Freeney said to us, "Okay, Brother Sisk, you're on your way." And when he said that, all I could think about was, I knew I was on my way, okay? I just didn't know if I was going with the help of BIMI or without the help of BIMI. But aren't we glad that the mission boards are not the sending agencies, okay? The real sending agencies of mission is the local independent Baptist churches. And I look back over 50 years now in mission. And honestly, and I say this, it's not false humility, okay? But I've said it time after time. Everything that God has ever done in my life surprised me, okay? I mean, I know me, okay? And it has surprised me. It surprised me when I got home and I was saved that night. I lay on my bed. I couldn't get over it. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I'm not going to hell. That's a wonderful night, amen? And then God began to call me to the ministry, to preach. And all I could think of was, God called me to preach? What a surprise, okay? And the same way we go in the mission field and all these things and so forth. But I look over now, 50 years of full-time ministry in missions. Now, I'd pastored some 10 years before that time. And what a wonderful thing we have seen God do. And by the way, it was all God. All we are vessels. And the work is the work of God. And so we thank God for the opportunity to be here today. And the subject that I have been assigned is seeing the Lord in the Great Commission. Seeing the Lord in the Great Commission. Would you stand with me and open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 28? I want you to keep your Bibles open. And if you would, I want you to read these verses with me. They are very familiar verses. They'll not be difficult for you to find, but we're going to read all four of the accounts of the Great Commission, and it's found in all four of the gospel writers, okay? You have your Bibles open, Matthew 28, 19, 20. Let's read that together, okay, all together. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Mark 16:15. Won't take you long to find that. And if you don't find it, most of you can quote it with me. Okay, let's read it, okay? "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Luke 24, beginning with verse 45. Now, I'll wait till you find it. Luke chapter 24, beginning with verse 45, and we'll read through verse 48. Okay, Luke 25, let's read together, okay? "Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scripture. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, that thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things." One more passage. John chapter 20, verse 21. John chapter 20, verse 21. All right, all together, let's read. "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. Dear Lord, we thank you for the mandate for world evangelization. And in each of these passages, it is so obvious that you have manifested yourself. And I pray that again today, in this message, as we have about the various messages already preached, that we will see the Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. In each of the gospel accounts, we find the great post-resurrection appearances of our Lord, and the fact that in each of his post-resurrection appearances, he emphasizes the fact that the gospel is to be preached to every man, every woman, every boy, every girl on the face of the earth in every generation. And since my subject is seeing the Lord in the Great Commission, it is not a difficult thing to find him. And we're going to look at the Great Commission today, the various accounts of it, and see the Lord. Number one, we see him in his identification with believers. In the Great Commission, we see Jesus as he identifies himself with other believers. Listen to him as he says in John, "As my Father has sent me." Say the rest of it with me, okay? "So send I you." Think about that. "As my Father has sent me, so send I you." Question, was it important that Jesus come to the earth and suffer and bleed and die for sinners? Sure it was. Without that, there would be no gospel. And here Jesus is saying, "As my Father has sent me, so send I you." And just as it was important for me to come and suffer and bleed and die for sinners, it is important that you go and preach the gospel to a lost and dying world. So he identifies, he shows himself, number one, in his incarnation. In John chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Thank God, not a God. Amen. In other words, not as the Jehovah's Witness and the Mormon and all the other cults say, no, he was God, okay? Verse 14 says this. Listen to it very carefully. "And the Word, God, the Word was made flesh." The Word was made flesh. He identifies himself with all of us as believers. The Word was made flesh. Somebody as well said that could be interpreted like this. God moved into our neighborhood. Would that change your neighborhood or not? When Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem's manger, it was God in the flesh. And by the way, he was not 50% God and 50% man. He was as much God as if he had not been man. And he was as much man as if he had not been God. He was the God-man. And so he is identifying himself with us. In Philippians chapter 2, and turn your Bibles there with me if you would. Philippians chapter 2. And here the Apostle Paul reminds us, "Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus." And notice what kind of a mind we are to have. In other words, Paul is saying we are to have the kind of mind that the Lord had, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made of himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. My, what a wonderful thing it is that the Lord Jesus Christ identified himself with other believers. Then again, we see him identifying himself with us in the ministry. In John chapter 17, the great intercessory prayer, Jesus prayed like this. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world. By the way, he's talking about us, okay? He's praying for us. And isn't it a wonderful thing that we have him praying for us, okay? I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil. In other words, he said, don't take them out, but keep them from the world. Thank God we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And we're different from the world, and God expects us to be different. Then he goes on to say, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me, look at him, he identifies himself with us. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And then he identifies himself, thank God, in his intercession position. Seeing then we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Thank God for those last words. Amen. Now, are we not thrilled that he identifies himself with us in the Great Commission? As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. So he identifies. We see him as he identifies himself with us. Then number two, we see him in his confidence in his disciples. Throughout all of the different accounts of the Great Commission, you find the words, ye, 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 ye. You, 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 okay? And he is showing his confidence in his disciples. Now think about it. Jesus left heaven in all of its glory, lived a perfect life, suffered and bled and died on Calvary, was buried and resurrected from the grave. And by the way, just before he died, he uttered these words, it is finished. Everything that needs to be done in order for mankind to be saved has been done. Redemption is finished. I have defeated Satan. Thank God it is finished. And aren't you glad he didn't say, I'm finished? No, he wasn't finished, okay? They're going to put him in a tomb. But thank God, on the third day when they go out to look for him, they're going to find the messenger saying, he is not here. He is risen. Go see the place where he used to lay. He's not there anymore. Everything that needs to be done in order for mankind to be saved has been done. And then he comes to his disciples. By the way, they weren't a group of people that had halos around their head. They were people like you, and they were people like me. They were people that had fears. They were people that argued. In fact, one day when Jesus had instituted the Last Supper, and they were all reclined around the table, and it was very obvious that somebody had not done their job. Somebody had not washed feet. And in the Jewish homes, they always had a basin of water. They had a towel. And there was a foot washer. If they had servants, the lowest of the servant would wash the feet. If they didn't have a servant, guess whose job it was? It was the wife's job to do that. But there was no wife there, and there were no servants there. All the disciples were there, and it was very obvious that that job of foot washing had not been done. There are two distinct ways that you can detect dirty feet? Two senses. One of them is sight. The other one is smell, okay? So it's quite obvious that nobody had done the job of foot washing. Now, anybody could have done it, but nobody did. Didn't take any special training to do it. Never will forget being in Birmingham, Alabama, years ago. I said to a couple of young fellows in the church, hey, let's go soul winning a little bit tomorrow afternoon. One of them said to me, well, we're in Bible school, but we haven't studied Greek yet. And I said, I doubt anybody in Birmingham speaks Greek, okay? I mean, for some reason, you don't have to know Greek to win souls, okay? You don't have to know Greek to do a lot of things, okay? I mean, any of them could have done it. Didn't take any special training, didn't speak any special talent, anything, but nobody did. And all of a sudden, Jesus got up. He laid aside of his robe. And he went over and he took the towel, tied it around him. Got the basin of water. And he began to go from disciple to disciple to disciple. And he began to wash their feet. Now, please forgive them. Why didn't some of them wash feet? They were busy. They had a much greater discussion going. They were all discussing who's the greatest. By the way, that still hadn't ended, amen? And so they were all sitting around discussing, well, who is the greatest? Who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? And I'm sure all of them had a reason. Well, preaching is so important, Peter could say, and I'll probably be the greatest. John said, no, love is much greater than that. I'll be the greatest, okay? And I'm sure one of them must have said, and I don't know which one he said, well, I hate to admit this, but I'm the most humble, okay? Jesus knew all of them. He knew their failures. He knew their arguments. He knew their different weird way of thinking and so forth. And yet, in spite of all of that, he committed the gospel to them. And in reality, what he did in the Great Commission, he said, okay, I've done everything that needs to be done. Now, I'm putting it in your hand. I'm committed it into your hand. He knew their fears. He knew their failures. He knew their faithlessness. But thank God he had patience with them. Aren't you glad he has patience? I think of Peter. I think of him at the trial denying the Lord. I think of him after the resurrection, even deciding, hey, we can't do this. Let's just go back to our old occupation of fishing again. But then, thank God, I see him on the day of Pentecost, preaching and 3,000 people getting saved. And Jesus identified himself with believers. And then we see him as he has confidence in the disciples, in spite of what we are. By the way, and I'm not looking at other people when I say this. I look in the mirror, and I'm literally amazed at how much God gets done with what he has to work with. But aren't you glad that he empowers us? And he blesses us, and he uses us. Number three, we see Christ in the Great Commission in his total subjection to his Father's will. In his total subjection to his Father's will. In the Great Commission, it is very, very obvious that the words he is speaking are very clear. And they are very powerful. He's not making a suggestion. He's not making a request. He is giving a command. Listen to it. Go ye therefore. Go ye into all the world. Ye are witnesses. So send I you. Those are words with authority. And he's saying to every one of his disciples, not just those that he was speaking to in that day, because the Great Commission was not given to them uniquely. It was given to them as representatives of disciples in every generation. And Jesus, we see him. He is in total subjection to his Father. And he expects us to be in total subjection unto him. Just a couple of incidents. We see his total subjection to his Father at the well of Samaria. He was in Judea. He was going to Galilee. And he said, I must needs go through Samaria. Jews didn't do that. But Jesus did, because there was a woman there that needed him. He sat there and he talked to that woman. The disciples had gone away to get food. And when they came back, they were worried about him not eating in them and so forth. And his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But listen to him. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. You know what he's saying? Most important thing for me is not taking care of my flesh. The most important thing for me is to take care of the business of my Father. Amen. At 12 years of age, and by the way, it bothers me a little bit. Now, I know it's just a gripe of my own, but permit me to do it anyway, okay? Don't send the teenagers away every Sunday morning when God's man is preaching. Huh? I mean, they need to hear God's man proclaim, thus saith the word of God. Amen. Now, let the youth director do it some other time, okay? But don't take them out from under the preaching of the word of God. You say, why do you say that? Jesus was 12 years old. And we hear him saying the very first words recorded. By the way, it wasn't his first words. Amen. He's 12 years old, okay? I'm sure he talked a lot before that, but we hear him saying, I must be about my Father's business. In other words, hey, this is the most important thing for me to do. We see him doing the same thing at the healing of the blind man. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day. The light cometh when no man can work. Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said these words. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but in a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Listen to it. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now, before that, Jesus had said, I am the light of the world. And now he's saying, ye are the light of the world. Let your light so shine before them, not so they can see your good works, God forbid, amen, but that they may see the works of your Father. Then most of all, I think we see his total submission at Gethsemane. Gethsemane. And Jesus went a little farther and fell on his face. And by the way, the passage tells us that he was sweating, as it were, great drops of blood. Can you imagine that kind of agony? And in the midst of that kind of agony, he realizes that he is going to be scourged. He realizes he is going to be crucified, but far more weighing on his mind than physical suffering was the fact that he knew that when he was hanging on Calvary, that all of the sins of the world would be placed upon him, and God, his Father, would turn his back, and we would hear him cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he knew all of these things that were going to happen. And he prayed, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. but then thank God. The rest of the prayer. Nevertheless. By the way, there are a lot of nevertheless in the Bible. You ought to read them sometime. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. So we see the Lord in his total subjection to his Father. He expects us to be totally subjected unto him. Then last of all, we see Christ and his great love for all men. For God so loved the world. No limit to that, amen? Not the world of the elect, not the world of a certain group, but God so loved the world, amen? Everybody in the world. John 3:16, say it with me all together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Listen to the Great Commission. Teach or make disciples of all nations. Think about the word, all nations. Go ye into all the world, that repentance and remission should be preached in my name, beginning at Jerusalem, to all the world. Amen. In other words, in every account of the Great Commission, Jesus makes it very clear that he loves everybody and he wants everybody to hear the gospel. Hey, I got some good news for you. They're going to. They're going to. You say, how do you know, Brother Seth? I've turned to the back of the book and I read the last chapter, okay? It's going to happen. Here it is. And after this, I beheld, and lo, a great multitude. Now, I know this is going to shock some people, okay? But there are going to be a lot of people in heaven. Now, I know what a lot of people think. I'm not sure of anybody about anybody except you and me, and I'm not real sure about you, okay? And somebody as well said, if you see somebody in heaven you didn't expect to get there, don't look too surprised. They'll probably be just as surprised to see you, okay? Oh, according to my Bible, there's going to be a multitude of people in heaven. In fact, the Bible says a great multitude which no man could number. Where did they come from? They came from all nations and kindreds and people and tongue. And they stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, palms in their hand, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God. By the way, they all got there the same way, amen, through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not difficult to see Jesus in the Great Commission. I mean, his face shines all the way through it, does it not? And don't you love that part when he said, after he had given them the Great Commission, and then he said to them, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. And aren't you glad he doesn't say to us, now go on out there and do the best you can? That would be a total failure, amen. But lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Jesus has manifested himself in the Great Commission. And let me leave you with one question today. Where do you see yourself in the Great Commission? Do you listen to it and look at it and just say, oh, it's a great thought? I'll never forget Monday morning after I had said to my church, the Calvary Baptist Church in Harvey, Illinois, on a Sunday night, I told them that I would be resigning from the church and I would be going to Japan as a missionary. The next day, I went to the Home Bible League downtown Chicago to get a supply of Bibles to give out when I was visiting. And Mr. Chapman, the chairman of the, or the founder of the Home Bible League, was there, and he asked me to come into his office to have a cup of coffee with him. We sat there, drank coffee. We had done that before. And I told him about my decision. And I'll never forget, as long as I live, a question that Mr. Chapman asked me that morning. He said, "Don, do you believe it's possible to evangelize the world in our generation?" Now, that was 1964, okay? 1965. And it, a long time ago, 1964 it was. I'm sorry. I'm like, but again, I don't know if 29 years, 39 years, but it was in, it's in the 20th century, okay? And that, so that's a long time ago, okay? 50 years ago, man, more or less. And for the life of me, I cannot remember the answer I gave Mr. Chapman that day. I mean, being a Baptist preacher, I'm sure I didn't say I don't know, okay? Opinions are like noses. We all have one, okay? And I'm sure I didn't say I don't know, but I honestly, I cannot think of what I said to him. But I never forget, as I was out visiting and witnessing that day and so forth, that his question just kept coming back to me. Do you think it's possible to evangelize the world in our generation? And all of a sudden, I just had this thought. You know, it's not ours to sit around and wonder whether it can be done or not. God said, do it. And by the way, we can't. But he can. And isn't this a wonderful thought? When we are involved in getting the gospel out to a lost and dying world, whether it be to my neighbor next door to me, the person I work with, the waitress that waits on me at lunch, or whatever it may be, whether it be in some foreign mission field or wherever it is, when I am involved in fulfilling the Great Commission, think about this. I am working with sovereignty. For he has said, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." I'm reminded of the people that came to the disciples one day and said, "We would see Jesus." And thank God we've seen him this week. Amen. And by the way, let's continue to look for him. And let's continue to do what he told us to do in the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Let's bow our heads for prayer.